Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And today, John, we've opened up the vault with the Master Gardener Help Desk question and answers. Have a lot of questions coming into the Master Gardener Help Desk. As you know, we always promote that on here because our show is so short and time goes by so quickly. But folks are starting to call, send in photos, and interact with Master Gardeners on all of their gardening questions. So today we're going to go ahead and go through those and see exactly what kind of questions are popping up around town. And maybe your neighbor is having the same problem that you are. But we're going to answer everyone's questions here all at once. Right. And we're going to get started here. I want to make sure that you keep an eye out on the Master Gardener webpage before we get started on some upcoming events. We're continuing to do the Gardening 101 series, and we're gearing up for a lot of our summer programs. So make sure that you visit txmg.org/El Paso. That's a Master Gardener webpage, and there's a sidebar, has all the calendar of events. So make sure that you stop by and see where Master Gardeners are going to be and take them your own questions. So let's get started here. First question, John, here. Should I fertilize my Bermuda grass right now?
I would say to hold off a little bit, mainly because we're still having some cool nights, and Bermuda grass is really triggered by warmer nights. So if we're going to get above 60, 65 degrees on a regular basis, like 5 or 6 days in a row, then you can go ahead and start pushing your grass. Otherwise, it'll, you know, green up, doesn't really grow much, just sits there. No matter what you do, it just sits there. And so usually that's more weather related. So once it warms up, then you can put the fertilizer out and you know, stand back and let it grow.
And let it take off, and then it'll be your a maintenance nightmare before you're too long. So definitely should you go ahead and you know, we hope that our folks have been watering their grass at least once a month during the winter hours. So watering's okay?
Yeah, if you got your lawns greened up and you know, you're just waiting for it to take off or start to grow, again, that's a function of warmth, and once it heats up, then that grass will take off, and if you've got fertilizer on it, it's going to take off even faster.
Even faster, right. Good deal. So just because we see it on the shelves in our local garden center with stocking all the different types of fertilizer doesn't necessarily mean that those plants are ready for it to take on that fertilizer yet. So,
and if you are going to fertilize, I would recommend a slow-release fertilizer. That way, at least it'll be there when you need it. If you put a fast release on, then the grass really doesn't start growing. It'll, you know, leach on past the root system, and the plant won't be able to utilize it.
A waste of time and energy and not a good money.
Right.
And resources, too. You don't want that nitrogen going away from you.
Right.
Excellent. Good deal. So we hope that helps you with your Bermuda grass lawn questions. And let's see. Next one here up. I just purchased a bougainvillea from my local nursery. What is the best way to take care of it?
Well, the bougainvillea, you know, we said one time that we ought to just treat them as annuals here because they will be damaged during the winter. And so, you know, bring the plant in, kind of, you know, get it watered and all that, and then go ahead and take it out. And, you know, basically don't look back. Put it out there and of course, keep it watered, things like that. But bougainvilleas are not cold hardy here, thus we don't have a lot of them. So you'll see them put up on the south side of a house where they're getting the reflected sunlight off. Mm-hmm. And the plant will do much better there, but I'd almost treat it as an annual. Just let it do its thing. When it plays out, get rid of it, and next year buy another one.
Replace it out, right, definitely. And they're really showy and beautiful. I think those really nice little blooms on there really do pop in the patio. I have seen some bougainvilleas planted inside patios, even in the ground, and those homeowners take great care of the bougainvillea to make sure that the root ball survives the winter time. So they'll definitely wrap that, and take care of that burlap and you know, keep it moist during the winter time. But yeah, all of that, the tops just die back completely. So it's almost every year you're starting fresh, even if you have a living root system there too. So
I don't know, they're very beautiful. I mean, they have almost a neon, you know, color to them. And one year I got a chance to go see a bougainvillea grower down in the south, you know, South Texas, down in the Harlingen area. And, you know, greenhouse just beautiful with all the colors.
Right.
And they were cheap back then. And they just had so many. We go, why don't we just treat them as an annual, put them in, enjoy their beauty, and then quit trying to take care of them during the winter and just buy the next one, you know, next year's crop.
Short-term commitment. Right. Long-lasting blooms.
That's right.
Very good. Well, speaking of, there's a lot of folks, you know, folks are on their smartphone and looking at things. And depending on what sites you visit, you get some pop-up ads and always trying to sell you some garden fix-it. Name something.
Bestest
product out there, whatever. And we've seen really the online sales of beneficial insects coming up. And that was a question that we had earlier this week at the help desk. You know, should I purchase ladybug beetles and how many should I purchase?
Now, the ladybug beetles are, have a reputation for taking care of aphids and stuff. And they will, you know, early on in the year as things begin to heat up, then they don't like the heat. And they're headed up to the high country up in the mountains. And so a lot of times during the summer when the ladybird beetles are gone here, you can go up, you know, Oregon Pass or beyond, and all of a sudden you'll find these lacewings all over and these ladybugs, and they've moved in there and taken that over.
So definitely these ladybird beetles are going to be very mobile if somebody does purchase them, and they usually come in this really nice little container, and they're all full up in this paper container, and you release them into the garden, and then all of a sudden they're all gone. Either A, you don't have a food source enough for them to be able to sustain them and keep them
right
into your area, or like you said, a few more weeks from now it's going to be way too hot and they're just going to migrate up north to cooler temperatures. But I think it kind of relates ourselves into going into a talk on integrated pest management and using these biological controls and other predatory insects to be able to control those not so good bugs in your garden.
There's a another good beneficial called green lacewing. There's also brown lacewing. But both those will tolerate the heat and stay in your garden, whereas the ladybird beetle heads up to Ruidoso like a lot of people here in town.
Right,
when it gets hot, it goes. And I remember one time we went up to Maju Point there in the right outside of Ruidoso near the ski area. Oh. And it was just literally orange with ladybird beetles over everything. So go, okay, now I know where they go.
Here they are. And as far as those green lacewings, they're really attracted to your porch lights.
Yeah.
Till you'll see them the following morning. You know,
so don't go out and start swatting them off the wall.
Yes, exactly. Those are good guys, and they are taking a good care of those other insects in your garden. Yeah.
But those lacewings will stay, and they are the ones that have a little egg out on a stalk. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll see these weird-looking structures that are either on the underside of your leaf or on top of your leaf, and it'll be kind of like a little, very, very thin little silk, you know, stand with a little bump on the end of it, and that's a green lacewing egg casing. And they put them up high because when they hatch, they're almost cannibalistic, and they'll eat the young around them.
Gotcha.
So they put them up on stalks so they have a little chance of emerging and getting away before brother comes over to finish him off.
Oh my goodness. That's
But they're great, you know, great insects. Ladybug or ladybird beetle does a good job, but they do tend to disappear during the hot part of the year. And as you said, they need something to feed on.
Right. Definitely. So if you don't have all those conditions for them, then essentially another case of wasting your money of not being able to keep or retain those beneficial insects into your garden.
Right.
So you might want to rethink that and see how much money you're willing to spend.
And, you know, if you aren't purchasing them local and you're buying them online, things like that, you want to make sure that they do get shipped, you know, in a decent package and in a speedy way so that they don't die in transit. And, you know, the shipment arrives with a bunch of dead ladybug beetles. So you want to you want to make sure you get a local source and be able to get them to where you can, you know, utilize them in the garden right away.
Right, because those ones
Do a speed shipment, bring them in quick.
That's very true, because those are shipped as adults. And right. I think the green lace wings are actually shipped egg casings. Right. So you want to make sure that you know exactly what you're getting and what you're going to expect when you open up that container. Right. So
there's also a little beetle that sometimes gardeners run across that looks like a ladybird beetle. It's black and has two red dots on it, one on each wing case. And that's called a twice-stabbed lady beetle. And that beetle is good going after scale insects.
Oh.
So if you see a lot of those black beetles with the two red spots on them, then more likely you have a scale problem somewhere in your garden.
Oh, interesting.
And so they're feeding on some of the crawler stages and stuff. So that's, you know, another good insect.
Wonderful. Sounds good. Well, we know that one insect, the flea beetle, likes our plant of the week this week. It does a little number on the leaves, but I think we need to go ahead and include our primrose, our Mexican evening primrose, and maybe all of the entire group as a showy plant for our gardens this
week.
Yeah,
when you drive around town and you see the Mexican evening primrose in bloom, you get that little splash of pink color and all those blooms on it, and it's a very beautiful plant. And like you said, unfortunately, the flea beetle moves in, and it can ravage the primrose in a fairly short amount of time. So if you see the little beetle, he's a little teeny tiny black, shiny black beetle, and they really do a lot of damage, and you want to jump on that pretty quick. But they will hit some of the, you know, different primrose, not just the Mexican evening primrose. But, you know, aside for that, the plant is a gorgeous plant and great one. It's, you know, on the verge of being invasive.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely.
It really does like to spread. It has underground rhizomes and spread, so you do have to have it in an area that kind of has it contained.
Right, exactly. So a nice cement border or some kind of container would be great. And it's a nice, like the dainty pink color on that. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal. Well, we're almost out of time for our show today, but if you have any questions, give us some more questions for our upcoming shows. Call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.